So that song kind of, you know, it starts out great, and then it gets really wonky really fast. It's time
to
talk.
That's the story of the Browns, isn't it?
Exactly right. Very good. Time for the Petrak Report. It's Scott Petrak from the Chronicle Telegram and BrownZone.com. It's brought to you on WEOL by Jamelis Wilson Merrill and Fritz Company, attorneys at law and Royal Business Equipment on Cleveland Street in Elyria. Scott, they get a nice kickoff return and a good touchdown, quick to DPJ. Then how did things go? How did the day progress after that? to get to the 39-7. I know you don't have the answers to the 39-17 loss, but we were expecting more after a bye and after a big win over Cincinnati.
Exactly. That's what's most disappointing. I think the hope was, at least for fans and the team, that they had turned some kind of corner and figured some things out, especially defensively, because the defense had played better against the Ravens in the loss before the Bengals game, and then it played its best game of the year against a good Bengals team, albeit missing Ja'Marr Chase, and they won 32-13. So there was optimism, and they're coming off the bye. And Kevin Stefanski, the coach, was 2-0 after byes since he came to the Browns. And then they go to Miami and just get run over and didn't have any answers on defense, struggled offensively. You know, they scored early, and then they had a couple drives. Nick Chubb fumbled. That hurt them, and then they had a drive inside Miami territory, and they were unable to convert on third and fourth down. And then things started to snowball, and then they struggled after that offensively until the game was kind of put away. So issues everywhere, and the timing of them is terrible because you just can't afford to keep losing games at 3-6 and having lost 5 of 6. You just really can't. You know, maybe you can afford one more loss if you want any chance to get into the playoffs. And it seems even silly to talk about the playoffs when you're coming off a performance like that.
Right. I mean, we're not in that discussion whatsoever. We're at the bottom of our division right now. So we kind of still have that sort of hope of Deshaun Watson coming back and whatever that can mean at that particular point. So maybe there is a little bit of that. There was talk a little bit about sort of lack of effort or giving up at the end. Did you feel that? Is that the first time this season you sort of felt that from the team, or is that just a perception?
Yeah, I think it's perception. I mean, at the end, you know, they went to some backups and that didn't help. And then, you know, there's some injuries on the offensive line that didn't help. I have a hard time ever criticizing effort unless it's really obvious that it wasn't there. I think it was more about execution. You know, I think they came out ready to play, ready might not be the right word, but, you know, excited to play and expecting to play well. And then they just didn't. And I think it's a combination of, you know, the guys on the roster, the scheme, execution, you know. The Dolphins are such a good passing team that the Browns, you know, did all they could to take away receivers Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. And they did a decent job. But they left themselves vulnerable in the run game. And I think the thought was, okay, we'll still be good enough in the run. If they run it, we're fine. You know, they're not going to have explosive plays running the ball, but they offered no resistance. So that plan doesn't work if the other team can do whatever it wants running the ball and averages whatever it is, 6 yards a carry, and they average 7.3 yards a play. So if you're not stopping them at all and they're just gashing you, whether they plan to run or throw, it just makes it impossible to defeat a team like that, right? You got to score every time you have the ball, and they weren't able to do that.
Yeah, losing again 39-17 for that. Left-handed quarterback Tua, is it different playing against a left-handed quarterback? Does that, you know, in other sports, left-handers kind of have a different advantage. Is there anything like that in football, do you know?
Yeah, a couple guys were asked about that last week and said it's a little different. You know, like when he rolls out, he rolls the other way, you know, kind of switches the strong side a little bit. Myles Garrett wouldn't be coming off his front side instead of his blind side normally, but I don't think it's a huge deal. I'll tell you what, I was not a huge believer in Tua when he came out of Alabama, and he doesn't have the biggest arm, but he made a bunch of big throws yesterday, and he's been doing it all year. I mean, he leads the league in passer rating, which is a stat that combines a bunch of different other stats. Doesn't throw interceptions. There were plays yesterday where the Browns had him in third and long, and he made just good throws. Every time it felt like, okay, here's a chance for the Browns to get a stop, it felt like Tua made a throw on time. You know, he wasn't pressured very often, which is another indictment against the defense. But the couple of times he was able to get rid of the ball and usually threw a completion. So he's playing great, and he really is a MVP candidate.
All right, let's forget about the Dolphins and look forward to the Bills. Are we hitting them at the, are we getting the Bills at the right time, just based on where they are this season? No.
Yeah, I mean, you can argue that, but I don't know if it's just my natural Cleveland pessimism or what, but I kind of think that after losing two straight games, Josh Allen and the Bills will be as prepared and motivated as ever. So I'm not sure you're getting them at the right time, despite two straight losses. I mean, that game yesterday was crazy against Minnesota. You know, they get the stop at the goal line, and then Allen fumbles into the end zone, and Minnesota recovers, and it goes to overtime, and there's a missed call, and all kinds of stuff, but they lose. And then the week before, they'd lost to the Jets, and they didn't play very well against the Jets. And Allen's had some turnovers the last 2 weeks. But, I mean, he's one of the top, whatever, three quarterbacks in the league. He kills teams running the ball, and the Browns have trouble stopping the run regardless, let alone when the 6'6 quarterback is coming at you. He's got targets all over the field. They have, I know they gave up a bunch of points yesterday, but they have some good players on defense. They're a little banged up. You know, I don't think there's any advantage. I don't feel to me like it's any advantage that they've lost two in a row. But maybe if you're the players, you look at that and go, okay, we see that they can lose. Let's go do it again. But regardless, I think the Browns are 8.5-point underdogs. It's a tough game, and you know, for most of the season, and maybe even now, to me, it looked like the worst matchup on the schedule.
Well, again, that's coming up on. November 20th, then we get the game against Tampa Bay, and then the Houston Texan game, which is sort of the one that's, quote, circled on the calendar because of the return of Deshaun Watson. What's his status now, and what does he do or allowed to do moving forward over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, he's allowed to start today. He's allowed to practice. Now they don't practice today, so I don't think he'll actually – I don't think they're doing anything special for him today as far as, you know, having an extra session or anything. But for the first time since his suspension started August 30th, the Browns coaches can actually watch him on the field. Up until now, since October 10th, he had just been able to work out individually with the strength and conditioning staff, and he'd been working out or training off campus with his quarterback coach. So now he can practice because he hasn't even been allowed to watch practice. So, you know, it's a next step. And it'll be interesting to see how the Browns coaches use the next 2 weeks, because you still have to prepare Jacoby Brissett to play those games, right? And the starting quarterback gets all or just about all the snaps in practice with the first team. Do you work Deshaun Watson in because you know he's coming back? I think for sure they'll have extra like sessions during extra, you know, practice periods where Deshaun Watson can get a feel for whether it's the first team offense or at least running the plays that the Browns are playing, the game plan. I think he'll spend time throwing on the side to his, you know, to the starting receivers, Amari Cooper and Donovan Peoples-Jones and David Njoku when he comes back from that ankle injury. So it's almost like these parallel tracks of, okay, we still got to play these two games, and Jacoby Brissett's got to be as prepared as possible. But yet, we know Deshaun Watson's coming back in a couple of weeks. So they got to ramp him up to be ready, too.
Yep, get ready to see how this goes for the season as it wears on. It's not where we had hoped to be, but it's where we are. And that's what we got to do moving forward against the Bills again next week. And we'll talk with you after that game as well, Scott. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, guys.
Scott Petrak joining us this morning on the Petrak Report. You can read him in the Chronicle-Telegram. Also follow him, brownzone.com, or at Scott Petrak on Twitter. Always post a lot of stuff during the game as well. Our report with Scott is brought to you by Jamelis Wilson Merrill and Fritz Company, attorneys at law, and Royal Business Equipment.
In Elyria and across northern Ohio, many individuals, families, and business owners who need legal help turn to Jamelis Wilson Merrill and Fritz Company, attorneys at law. By providing legal service in family law, criminal defense, estate planning, personal injury, and business law, their skilled attorneys, including Ohio State grad James Jamelis, can help you deal with complex issues. Zoom consultations are available. Call today or visit gwmflaw.com.
In 1962, Royal Business Equipment started selling manual typewriters and 10-key adding machines, mostly to businesses. 60 years have gone by, and Royal Business is still the area's leading technology provider, now serving schools, students, and individuals as well. See Royal for Chromebooks, notebooks, and desktop computers. They also do repairs and have a large parts department. Save money and buy local. Royal Business Equipment, 591 Cleveland Street in Elyria. 60 years of expert advice and service.